So let's call the administration committee meeting of Wednesday, October 19th, 2016 to order. I have myself, Alderman Wolschewski, Alderman Perulis, and Alderman Frieder's here. Alderman Teeling's absent. Staff and visitors. We're probably going to move you up, but I'm waiting for Alderman Funkhauser, so why don't we go through some of the quick stuff first. So, any citizens' comments? Okay. Minutes for correction and approval from September 21st, 2016. Comments, questions, corrections?
Good to me.
Okay, so have those as approved. New business, admin 2016-64, the monthly budget report for September 2016.
I really don't have too much to say about it. It's pretty much what I expected, so unless there's any questions.
Comments or questions
Joel.
On that? Yes, Joel. We're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Admin 2016-65, monthly treasury report for September 2016.
Beginning fund balance, $17,243,885. Year-to-date revenues of $14,628,579. Year-to-date expenses of $12,045,865 for a projected ending fund balance of $19,826,600.
Comments or questions? Okay, we're good on that one. Admin 2016-66, cash statement for August 2016.
Informational as always, our cash balances are on the first page and our investments are on the second.
Comments or questions?
Any further updates for IMET?
Yeah, it got postponed. So they're actually supposed to have the hearing tomorrow. So hopefully by the end of the month we'll have an update on where we're at.
Sweet.
Okay, number four, admin 2016-67, bills for payment. Comments or questions on the bill list? Okay, good. Found that. Five, admin 2016-68, the monthly website report for September 2016.
Nothing's out of the ordinary, so.
Go ahead, Joel.
What's the name of the service that you used to gather all this information?
It's called PIWIC.
Okay. Six. Admin 2016-69, tax levy estimate.
Okay, so the first step of the tax levy process each year is certifying a tax levy figure. This year, we get our first practical application of the discussion that we've been having for the past 3 or 4 years about whether the library should continue to be calculated within our property tax cap, or they should have the limiting rate applied to them. So we have a couple options on the board, option A and option B. I will say in general, so separate from this, the city could raise its tax levy by about half a percentage point, and it would generate about $20,000 over what we had gotten last year as the maximum. We've communicated in the past that we would have a 1% reduction, and I'll get into the what actually occurred in a second here. But after talking with the mayor about it, he suggested we would just go with the zero as our maximum because it's only a loss of $20,000. And then whether we actually lose an additional 30 or have a 1% reduction or sit at zero is kind of the conversation we get to have over the next month and a half. We don't have to discuss or decide any of our sub-levies yet. My suggestion is that we give ourselves as much time as possible to discuss what we're doing with the library. I will tell you that the library has already voted on their levy, and they, again, had voted for an actual tax rate, which is their maximum allowed under the law, of 0.15. So barring a reconsideration on their part, that's their position. Moving forward, and all we can really do is say, yes, we want to apply the cap to them or not. Okay, so my nice drawing on the board here, in 2012, when we increased the property taxes to make debt service payments, we had like a 90% increase from 1 year to the next. At the time, we had communicated that if citizens passed the non-home rule sales tax referendum, that we would then roll back property taxes over a number of years, so that we had a substitute revenue stream, basically, to make debt service payments. So non-home rule sales tax referendum was approved, so that got implemented. And we said, okay, over the next so many years, we're going to reduce. The first year was 30%, and then after that it was 5, I think a 3, a 2, and then it went down to 1 for a number of years. So we've recalibrated that per year depending on, like, one of the years collections were particularly poor, so we actually, like, reduced it even, or we collected less than we had even planned, so property taxes went down further than we had anticipated. Other times the tax cap was just different. So we communicated this black line generally, and it's not proportional. But what actually happened was we actually arrived at our target in the future sooner than we had expected. So we've actually reduced property taxes quicker than we had communicated. And so we're at the point here where this is the last year where we said there's definitely going to be a property tax decrease of 1%. But we've already arrived at that basically the year prior. So the conversation with the mayor was, well, if we communicated a decrease, even though we've already got there a little sooner, that's why we wanted to go with the zero. We don't want to, you know, do an increase after we've communicated a decrease. So he was even in favor of dropping it down further a little bit if we wanted to. I don't necessarily recommend that just because outside of all of this, there's a note in the memo. The police pension requirement is going to go up 17% from last year. So that's an additional $140,000 out of our pocket because that is included with our property tax cap. So that's actually money that comes out of the general fund. It's just money we lose because the contribution goes up for a variety of reasons. So purple is what actually occurred, and green would kind of be option A. So if for some reason we said we want to give the library $62,000 extra dollars from what they got last year, the city's tax levy would go down 1% almost, so we'd lose an additional $30,000. So not the end of the world in a $13 million budget, but it compounds under the property tax cap law. So we'd actually be here. So we'd communicated that we were going to collect like $3.1 million, and we're going to collect like $3.05. So we're actually even beating our own communications. So that's the options illustratively. Just number-wise, we keep them under the tax cap. They can continue to levy 0.15 in perpetuity because they're their own entity and they have a maximum tax rate under Illinois law, but it's under our tax cap. So EAV goes up 10% from one year to the next, so your property theoretically is worth 10% more. That means they can levy 10% more, which means their $630,000 levy goes up to about $692,000. So 10% from one year to the next, and that's to our detriment. So we're actually giving them more money. Option B would be to calculate it separately. So they would then, from year to year, be able to increase their levy amount by CPI, so Consumer Price Index, inflation, which this past year was 0.7%, plus whatever new construction there is. So a lot of new homes being built, Wrigley's been open, so that's all to our benefit from one year to the next. So if we were to apply the limiting rate to them under option B, they would go up about 2.2% from last year, so still decent. And they would get an additional $13,000, which is, you know, a decent amount of money for their entire budget. So that's the option A and option B. Again, we don't have to decide this today. You have a month and a half, but if everybody was like, oh, option A is definitely the way we're going to go, well, we can start that process now. So the levy estimate is in your packet. It's the nice chart at the end of the memo that Rob provided. So we do recommend that the city levy capped be at 3.101185. So that's $3,101,185. So that's flat basically from the year prior. And that the library operations, that we would publish the public hearing as $692,000, which is their maximum levy, and it's basically this dollar amount, so a 10% increase. Because you always want to have your higher dollar amount in a public hearing, and you always can back it down after that. So, you know, to prevent us from having to have that conversation immediately, our recommendation is for purposes of public hearing to just give them this dollar amount for now, and then if we want to back them down off of it later, we can. So all you're voting on tonight really is the tax levy estimate, but just given that this is so complex and so potentially fraught with controversy, I wanted to make sure that I got it on your plates early. So that's what we're looking at this year.
Any questions?
I have a couple general questions. When you have listed corporate on like the 2016 tax levy estimate with combined,
yes.
What does the corporate entail? That's just
money for anything that we do, really. So that's like your most general, unrestricted sub-levy in your entire tax levy. So you can use it for any purpose that you deem fit, whereas things like IMRF pension, your police pension, mm-hmm. you know, those have to match generally what you're spending on. So there was a little note in the audit about the fact that we have like $1.2 million in restricted funds for IMRF audit. So in years past, we've been levying for the IMRF pension line item, you know, a dollar higher amount than we've actually contributed to them. So we just have to hold that basically back until future years. So that's an example of why you want to force as much money as you can into the general sub-levies, the corporate sub-levy, and leave your restricted line items out.
All right. And then when are we going to get to a point where we're paying more for the police work of Christmas past than we are for the police work of this Christmas? Is that coming pretty soon?
I don't follow you.
Well, police protection's at 1.0, or like basically almost 1.1 million. And then pensions are at 825,000.
Sure. So in 2016, we estimate that the pension contribution is going to be higher than the amount we're collecting for general police protection for property taxes. And I will tell you, that is actually relatively common. A lot of the greatly developed and then older cities, they almost don't even levy anything for their corporate levy. It's usually IMRF pension, firefighter pension if you've got a fire department, and police pension, because those three dollar amounts are usually so high, and once you get built out that much, you're probably home rule. You can diversify your revenue sources so you don't have to collect property taxes as much from general residents.
So it is relatively common to be paying more for the cops that are retired yeah. than for the cops that actually work for.
Just remember, too, I mean, that $883,000 that we're projecting under the levy request for 2016 for police protection, your police budget is $4 million plus. Right. So you're only really collecting in, you know, sole purpose property taxes a fraction of what it actually costs to provide police services.
Seaver, anything?
No, not so far.
So you're looking for our advice on this.
So the actual action item would be to endorse the 2016 levy recommended amounts that's on the last page of the memo in the table. So it's that final column. So if you endorse that via motion, we would publish that in a public hearing, hold the public mm-hmm. hearing, and then make a decision on all the sub-levies at a later date, including what we're doing with the library.
So we can publish that we are going to stay.
That's your
now.
Recommend.
Yeah, it's the higher dollar amount. Yep, and then you can always reduce it at a later date. And I will say, Rob and I had talked about this. I don't actually think we're required to have a public hearing, even if we go with that option A, because the amount of the increase is such a small amount compared to the total property tax levy. We do it just to cover our bases, and because it's kind of good government, people expect you to do a tax levy public hearing, even if you're reducing property. Taxes, which is what we've done every year since 2012.
Are they okay with recommending option A?
I'm good with A.
No? Shoot high and you can always change it. Okay, Chris is here now, so let's go to old business admin 2014-89, the Aurora Area Convention and Visitor Bureau Agreement.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Did a quick reverb or something?
No.
Do you want me to raise that
on board? Oh, yeah. And then I think the clicker is out there, too, if you want to. Yeah, go ahead and raise that. Grab the clicker.
The clicker is out in the chambers? Or?
Yeah, I think it's on the presentation card.
I want to introduce real quick to three of our other guests that are here. They're actually board members of the Aurora Area CVB. Phil Pinnell is our board chairman. This year, Anthony Adams is the general manager of the Hamlet Inn here in New Yorkville, and Greg Zanotti is the marketing director of the Raging Waves Water Park. So, on my board, and then Chris Von Kauser, thank you. Also, a board member of the Aurora Area CDB. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of run through a pilot program that actually the AACB board approved last week at a special board meeting. So this pilot marketing partnership program is something that the board has approved, and we'll be rolling out to those communities that actually are eligible for the program. Hopefully you all have a copy of the pilot program that was handed out. And right now, the way it stands, there's three communities within our 10 communities of the area that will qualify for the program. It's Yorkville, Sandwich, and North Aurora. And they meet those requirements in order to be part of our mutual marketing partnership pilot program. And as a one-year pilot program, we're going to roll it out at the beginning of calendar year 17. It'll run kind of straddle our fiscal year and then wrap up at the end of 17. We'll review it, we'll analyze the program, give feedback from our communities, and then move forward whether we want to extend it, change it, make change to the program, and just make sure that it was successful for everybody involved. As you're probably aware, you've been on this, you know, with the CDB for several years. The last year and a half or so has been a change for the Bureau, a structural change for the Aurora area CDB. Not only myself coming in brand new, there was a long time, there was no director, you know, and I think the Aurora area CDB board has recognized maybe the lack of direction and lack of focus over the past several years prior to that. So when I came on board, I looked at what is our market, who is our traveler, who do we want to market, who is going to bring the greatest impact to our communities, and in particular to our hotels, who are collecting the room tax that's funding our efforts, and then also driving business to our restaurants, our shops, and other services within our communities. Part of that change has been new staffing at the CVB. In the last 6 months, we brought in a brand new director of sales. His specialty, his background, is in sports marketing and sports sales. And just this past August, he brought in a brand new, director of marketing. And he came directly from Allstate corporate office in Northbrook with a heavy background in digital marketing and web design as well. And again, part of it is to look at what is our most productive market and what is going to drive overnight visitation to our community. And I emphasize that. I emphasize that a lot during this presentation. For us as a CVB, it's about heads and beds. What's bringing visitors into not only our regional hotels, but your hotel as well. Your hotel's here in Yorkville. And part of this pilot program is to be more responsive to our supporting communities and our hotel partners. And really, we understand that all of our communities have a choice of what they can do with their hotel motel, locally collected tax dollars. We want to make sure that their choice is with the Aurora area CVB. We feel we can do the best job with those dollars, and we can drive new additional revenue and visitors into not only Yorkville, but the entire region as well. So I'm going to get started, but I'm going to kind of go through a little bit about, recap a little bit of our last fiscal year, and then I'll kind of work into our current first quarter of this fiscal year as well. So in our last fiscal year, which ended June 30th, our print advertising as a regional destination advertising reached over 5 million eyes or impressions. Our social media and Facebook paid promotions reached 466,000 impressions. And of that 466,000, we generated 117,000 engagements. Those are travelers, interest travelers who have clicked through, liked, clicked, shared, commented on our paid social media engagement, and that does not include our organic growth on social media as well. Our visitor guide, our regional visitor guide, we fulfilled 8,300 requests for information. Those are the guides that are direct mailed out of our office, and those fulfillments are generated through our print advertising, our website. They can sign up, they can request through our website, through our social media, and also call-ins who call and say, I'm going to be out in Yorkville, Batavia, Aurora in a couple weeks for business. Can you please send me some information on what there is to see and do when I get there? So over 8,000 of those guides were direct mailed just out of our office. And then also we have a digital flipbook version of our visitor guide, which is available on our website as well, and we had nearly 2,000 digital downloads of our visitor guide in our last fiscal year. Our website continues to grow. We've put on some new analytics. We've created new content for our website, and we are driving new visitors and increased visitation to our website. We recognize the importance of our website. So for last year, we had 57,000 user sessions came to our website, 148,000 website page views, and as part of our website, we activated two digital content engagement advertising programs through a third-party source, and those two stories alone, one on architecture and one on summer family fun, generated 7,500 digital content engagements, people who clicked through from our digital ads or our digital content out there on the internet that came directly to our website based on our digital content activation programs. First quarter of 17. Our fiscal year begins July 1st. We just finished up our first fiscal year. And look at these numbers, and then we'll, you know, kind of think back at where we just were for our whole last, our entire fiscal year, and this is just our first quarter. We are really running fast in what we're doing in our first quarter. 33,000 user sessions on enjoyaurora.com. The last slide, I think I had 56,000 for the entire fiscal year. In the first quarter alone, we've done 33,000 user sessions, and that's actually a 30% increase over the previous quarter, or the fourth quarter of our last fiscal year. 60,000 page views already in the first quarter, up 14%. The last slide, I believe, we were at 148,000 page views. So we're more than halfway to last year's numbers already, and this is our first quarter. Our Facebook reach is 1.1 million impressions, and that's a 6% increase over the quarter, over the previous quarter. And our engagement on social media and Facebook is 40,000. Again, those are travelers that have clicked through our social media campaigns, our posts, our boosts, and that's up 140,000 over the previous quarter. And then our Facebook followers were up 19% year over year for our Facebook. We're probably actually closer to 12,000. Right now, we're adding probably 60 to 100 new Facebook followers every week through our campaigns. A lot of it is paid boost and paid ads, but we're getting our name out there, the name of the Aurora area and the region out there to the traveling public, and social media is really working well for us in the first quarter of this year. We'll continue to do that and drive that traffic to our website. Group sales, meetings, and group tours. Part of our restructuring was to bring in a new director of sales with experience in all three markets, but primarily sports. This year, we launched, just actually in the first quarter of this year, we launched the Aurora Area Sports Alliance. It's actually works under the umbrella of the Aurora Area CVB, and what that allows us to do is to brand our sports marketing efforts separately from the other niche markets, and more importantly, separate from our leisure marketing efforts. When we're talking with tournament planners, events rights holders, they want to know that we have the expertise, that we have the local organizing committees, and we have the people in place that we can host their events, we can sell it, we can bring them here. We have the experience available that we can host that. And by creating a separate sports alliance, kind of an offshoot of the CVB, we've created that branding awareness of our sports marketing expertise on a national level. Again, just in the first quarter of this year with our new director of sales, we've created leads that go directly to our supporting municipal hotels with 10,000 bookable hotel room nights just so far in the first quarter of this year, and with an estimated economic impact of $2.2 million. Majority of this are sporting events that we're bidding on, and that we are putting leads out for 2017, 2018, and beyond. So we book a year or more in advance sometimes as soccer tournaments, baseball tournaments, softball tournaments. They're planning out for 17 and 18, looking for those locations. These leads that we're sending out represent those pieces of business that we're going after, that we're booking, and that we're sending out leads to to those people and to our local hotels to book this business, to bring these travelers to their region, and more importantly, to our hotels. We look for tournaments that generate overnight stays. We're not doing local tournaments. We have 20 teams within a 10-mile radius. We're doing national tournaments, regional tournaments, statewide tournaments that are bringing in 10s, 20s, 30s, teams coming in from all over the region that have to travel far enough to stay overnight. And that's what that business is that we represent on our group sales efforts. As we're working into our municipal partnership marketing plan, there's definitely just some residual benefits of being a member or a supporting community of the Aurora Area CVB and the local regional destination marketing organization. We support all the businesses within our supporting communities. We're not a membership organization. So what that means is, as a municipality, you're all in or you're all out. So for those communities that are not a supporting member of the CVB, we don't work with their hotels, we don't work with their attractions. For instance, if Yorkville was to not renew the agreement with the CVB, folks like the Hampton and Raging Waves would not be part of our service area. We would not supply them with leads. We would not directly market them as an attraction or a hotel within our area. So with your investment, all your businesses that are visitor-related are included with our marketing efforts, and that includes our website. So we list your shopping, your lodging, your dining, any of those visitor-friendly businesses that make sense for somebody coming in from the outside, especially your restaurants and unique shopping venues, your events, are all listed there on our website in a regional visitor guide. And then also we are the direct link to the enjoyillinois.com website, so we upload all that information also to the state tourism website. And we are, again, the Illinois Tourism Office works directly through their network of 40 certified CVBs, so we are the direct contact with the Illinois Office of Tourism. And just like being on or all out, same thing with the group sales leads. As our direct sale is out, working with event planners, meeting planners, group tour operators, he's selling the region as a destination for group sales. He's generating those leads that go out to our hotels. They only go to those hotels that are within one of our supporting communities. So other communities are not receiving our leads. Only those hotels within our supporting communities receive our leads. And then certainly your participation and having a voice at the table of the Aurora Area CVB on our board of directors. The Yorkville Park District is a presiding member of our Sports Alliance as well, and then other committees and task force and initiatives that come up throughout the year. As a supporting community, Yorkville has the opportunity to be involved in all of those programs that come up and that are, you know, really do help direct the efforts of the organization. Our pilot program, we've kind of been rolling out, and it's considered our municipal marketing partnership program. Again, it's a 1-year pilot program. We will evaluate it at the end of the 17 calendar year, and it's really to provide individual tourism marketing services to those eligible communities that meet the criteria that's in the actual marketing partnership plan that you have, and it's to offer quantifiable results based on a dedicated marketing and advertising program above and beyond what we do every day to market the region and the destination, and our regular sales efforts and lead generation that we do on a daily basis. It gives each of those three communities individualized marketing plans that we can put our name on or put their name on and have some quantifiable results based on that one particular community. The way the plan works is 40% of Yorkville's investment, which is, you know, based on our current year's funding projections, is dedicated to an individualized or municipal marketing plan for Yorkville. Right now, based on our current fiscal year budget, it's about $28,000 is what we're looking at. It's about 40% of your investment with the regional CVB. The remaining 6% stays with the destination and with the CVB for our group sales efforts, the regular sales and marketing of the destination and support the organization and the operations of the organization as a whole. The way the plan would work is our new marketing director and myself would work with a representative of Yorkville to develop advertising strategies, desired audience, and market reach. Who do you want to reach? Who is your audience? Who do you want to bring to Yorkville? What is your audience, and how can we help you reach that audience that makes sense on a tourism effort with, again, the ultimate goal of heads and beds? The tax money here that we're talking about is the user-generated hotel-motel tax, and that money really should be earmarked going back to generate additional overnight stays and really to raise that bed tax revenue for local community, and then also to help with our ongoing destination marketing programs. At the conclusion of the program, the CVB then will provide a marketing review to the community and to Yorkville based on the outcomes and the measurements and the metrics that we set in place with the communities during the review and development program for the partnership. A brief summary of some of the details and specifics of what we would look for when we work with Yorkville to develop your individual marketing plan. It needs to reach the travel market with the greatest likelihood of needing overnight accommodations. The standard there is 50 miles or greater from local area. That's kind of what is just the industry out there is 50 miles or greater, which for Yorkville and our region, that gives us Chicago, which is great that we can tap into the Chicago market. You know, we look at it, it's 50 miles-ish. You know, we can play with that. But we want to make sure that what we're doing in our partnership with Yorkville is reaching that audience that's going to travel and spend the night in your hotels, eat in your restaurants, go to your stores, hopefully go to your events, and do some other stuff while they're here visiting the area. And really, it's to promote the unique aspects of the community, your attractions, your events, and those things that generate overnight stays, the water park, the Marge Klein Whitewater course downtown, maybe some larger events as well, that we can really generate overnight stays for that. Because of our grant situation and the way we work with the state of Illinois, our branding and the Illinois Office of Tourism branding will need to be included on all of those programs, any ads that are placed as part of the partnership. And by branding, all that would mean is just the state logo needs to be somewhere on the ad or somewhere on the program, no matter if it's not print, it might be digital or it might be radio spot or something. And same thing, since it is a partnership, it would need to include the AACVB logo on there as well. So we have everybody's branding on there. The plans will be developed in the first quarter of the calendar year 2017. And then we would implement that based on the time frame and what the true audience is, you know, and what the time frame for your activation is. Certainly, if you have a part of your plan includes a first quarter ad campaign of some kind, then we activate that first quarter of the year. If all of the ad programs are targeted for the summer months, when the water park is open, the Marge Klein's open, your events are going on, then we plan for the summer and implement that once we get into the warmer months. So we plan it out, but certainly if there's a winter campaign that someone wanted to do, we would roll that in. We want to make sure that we have the plans developed in the first quarter so we can implement them and roll them out. And kind of on the last slide, I talked about the marketing review report that would be generated. That would be generated at the conclusion of the program. If your program is completely done in July, then we issue that report in July because your program's done, and we could give you that report. If your program runs through the end of the year, then we do that once the complete program is fully finished. So whenever your program is done, then we would go ahead and implement that report for you and kind of give you the metrics and the results of your individualized marketing campaign. Just kind of went through and put some photos in there, some of probably the highlights of Yorkville, some of the things that you know, we would look at as being good targets for an individualized marketing campaign. Certainly the kayaking into Marge Klein, historic architecture, the Elkhono County Courthouse, Raging Waves, without a doubt. Unique shopping, and then certainly dining here is kind of taken to forefront. I think as you develop your downtown Route 47 corridor and your riverfront, that certainly ties into the other aspects of your marketing as well. But that's what we look at as some of the major highlights of Yorkville, how we would approach any type of marketing campaign for the city. That's the program. That's what it is. It's a 60-40 split. It gives you 40% of your incoming dollars are dedicated to Yorkville for your individualized use, but yet you still retain all the benefits of the destination and our everyday efforts in terms of destination marketing, group sales, lead generation, and driving business to your attractions and to your hotels. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
I got a couple comments.
Okay.
The sports marketing thing, like we were talking about that 2 years ago, so I'm happy to see they actually come through. The idea of things going on at Stewart, like Stewart went from like four or five fields to like a freaking complex. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's not enough room in Aurora for all of those people.
Right.
So the idea of you helping pitch the use of that facility and then saying, well, these are all the available hotels, I've always wanted on that. I think that's brilliant. So I'm glad to see some movement in that direction. I did notice last week they finally started coming up in my feed, the Facebook post that you guys have,
okay,
where you basically blast out all of the stuff that's going on every weekend.
We do the top 10. We've been doing that for about 6 months, and we do the top 10 every Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. We get a top 10 weekend.
Well, the reason that it started showing up in mine is that the stuff that you're tagging is stuff that I've already liked from around the region.
Okay, good.
One of the things that we had talked about when we considered splitting off was the fact that we need to focus more on advertising to our own community, because a lot of people just don't have any connection to events going on because they don't come to city meetings, they don't go to baseball games, they don't go to soccer games. So what I've noticed through those posts is that you have people from the area now exploring their own area because it's made available to them. Like, it's super simple. Everybody is tagged as far as what business or what city is throwing what festival. So in one blurb, you had the city, the restaurant that was sponsoring, the festival that was helping out, mm-hmm, and then all of the breweries that were involved in the festival. I'm telling you from a regular person standpoint, that's super freaking helpful.
Good.
So on that one post, when you go to it, you have like 80 things to click, mm-hmm, and it's only 10 events. So in my opinion, that's an excellent approach to doing things, and that's what I was hitting the table about, yelling at this guy about. Like, just advertise to me, because even though I live here all the time, I don't know that stuff.
And that has been probably the most immediate benefit of a new director of marketing, because his background is digital, mm-hmm, and web-based marketing and social media as well. So he's really raised that bar on our social media campaigns and our posts and our ads as well. We're doing some kind of concurrent ads that we have running in different markets. What's great about social media, especially Facebook, you can geo-target your audience. So we're targeting people outside of the local area as well. But we also realize that our core audience on our social media is probably more of a local audience.
Right.
So we're reaching really a double market in most of our social media campaigns right now. But thank you for that. I'll certainly let James know, okay, that it's had some impact. So.
Well, that's what we had talked about, branding ourselves, sports marketing, and then having metrics for evaluating how we're doing. So in talking with Bill about your new guy from State Farm, or Allstate, whichever one it was, about your ability to collect information and at least tell us where they're coming from,
yeah,
that brings us a step closer to the idea we had about how do you get it at the hotel? How do you find out where these people are coming from? Can you validate your own professional push to get people here? And that's, like, in my opinion, that's the next step that will help us kind of evaluate how you can toot your own horn, basically.
And that's probably at the heart of our structural shift in the organization. As a leisure destination, you really don't have that control. You don't know when someone goes to the Hampton and why they're there, unless they're there for a softball tournament, a baseball tournament, a soccer tournament, a volleyball tournament. When we sell an event, when we bring an event here, we follow that through from beginning to end. We do room pickups. We know who's been here. and we know when they book a team at the Hampton Inn because we control that piece of business. When someone sees our Facebook post, maybe they're sitting in, you know, Iowa City, say, oh, that'd be cool to go, you know, let's go whitewater rafting or kayaking on the Fox River. That'd be fun. Let's go try that. They do that. They plan it. They come here. They have no need to call us.
Right.
It's all done online or, you know, they might get a visitor guide. We never know they've been here. So part of the reason we made this, really, this major shift into the group sales efforts, because we can track it. We can follow that piece of business, and we can say, this is what we generated out of our office for regional tourism. Everything else is happening too, but we can't really necessarily put numbers on that.
Sure.
But we have numbers on this, yeah. And that's sports, meetings, and motor coach tours.
We like
primarily
numbers.
Sports.
We like numbers. I guess my last question, this is like probably my only question. In your organization, do you have the ability to let communities know when you have holes that you need to be filled? Like, for instance, does there need to be a hotel next to Raging Waves? I know that'd be freaking awesome. But is that something that you can analyze and then go, hey, just so you know, because we have an economic development coordinator who would probably love to know that information and enjoy those demographics that you already have access to. Is that something that you kind of keep on the back of your mind all the time?
Yes. We get calls often from developers, people who are looking and kicking the tires for new hotel development. In the region, we do get star reports on a monthly basis, which is the Smith Travel Research. So I know on a monthly basis, with a composite of our 10 communities, all of our hotels within our communities, what our occupancy rate is, what is our average daily rate, what is our revenue per available room. So when someone comes to me and says, we're thinking about putting a hotel up in Yorkville, I can say, well, this is the numbers that you're going to see based on our composite of 10 communities. Mm-hmm. And as what we're finding, actually, now that we're getting into more of the sports marketing stuff, is the inventory of our hotel rooms is going to be our biggest hurdle. Mm-hmm. When we need 4,000 room nights over a, you know, five-night period, our hotels do very well. Anthony can probably tell, hopefully you're doing very well. But occupancy is high. So sometimes, especially if it's a weekend tournament, soccer, baseball, softball, the hotels are already booked up. So our biggest challenge is finding enough hotel occupancy to bring in some of the really large tournaments that Sewer can hold, but where are we going to sleep them?
Right.
So there's always a need for new development. So yeah, we do have some of the information that we can pass on. And what we do too is, as we're bidding on events that we can't hold, that we have to turn away because of hotel occupancy or our fields aren't enough or we don't have the facilities, we keep that track of that too. So we know what business we're losing based on not having the facilities that we need. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time. We will roll this out to the full city council. And then, you know, we certainly would like to keep Yorkville on board again. And we'll make sure that, you know, we're really marketing the destination, and Yorkville is part of that.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody? Chris, do you have anything to add, or are you just here for the ride? Okay. All right. Well, it's another option out there.
I could make one comment.
Oh, sure.
Again, I wanted to come down and support Court. I knew he could do a good job on his own, but I wanted to support him in this. We at CVB think we're stronger together. Hopefully, we've addressed some of your questions. We are a new organization. I'm the new chairman of the organization. We're trying to be agile. We're trying to fit the new needs. And I would love to come to City Council, but that's the same night as Aurora City Council. So, I know Court will do a great job. Thanks for letting us make a presentation today.
Do our vendors have anything you want to add while you're here tonight?
Don't all jump at once, right? I just want to say that, you know, in line with what Court's been saying, there have been a lot of organizational changes with the AACVB. I've got a little over 7 years of working with the AACVB in different cities, but same idea. You know, we were 7 years ago sitting down with a consultant that was asking us, as the city of Sandwich, do we get anything out of it? What are we doing? And at that point, you know, we didn't really feel too strongly about it. I was asked the same thing this past summer from a consultant that, you know, Yorkville had, my answers were night and day, because we've got that shift that they have made from the target market that they're attacking, the different structural changes that they've made, having a marketing director now that has some of the quantifiable statistics for you guys. That's huge, and that's huge for us, because it sees where we can generate, where we can market ourselves, in addition to their efforts, to be able to pull in those overnight stays. But one of the things that I really, really want to highlight is that, you know, the city of Yorkville itself, we're unfortunately, and I'm sorry for anybody that thinks about it, but we're not a destination location yet. We don't. We have a summer destination, Raging Waves, but there's only a small market for that initially. As an area, Aurora as a whole, we are a destination market. There's the Paramount, there's Raging Waves with us, there's all of the different venues and attractions that are in the area, in addition to the sports marketing that we're now going after. And I can tell you, you know, this past weekend, for instance, we had the Great Lakes Volleyball Center, or I'm sorry, the Great Lakes Volleyball Center had the tournament, and we had two teams and the officials that stayed with us. We won those bids to the CVB. Those are things that were not coming through two or three or four years ago. So we're seeing traction on our side, and it's actually made us kind of shift what we are doing budget-wise and structure-wise for groups and blocks that we're taking in, because we want to keep slots open for these groups that they're bringing to the area. So just want to throw that out there for you guys.
Cool.
Yeah, and one comment from, I'd say, our end of business. You know, right now we're obviously with Yorkville member of the AACVB, but, you know, we were a member of the DuPage Convention Visitor Bureau, the Heritage Quarter Convention Visitor Bureau, just because we are a larger destination in the Chicagoland area. So we see it as a benefit to be involved in different organizations so that they can drive people to the area. One really promising thing is I had a meeting with James, the new marketing person, and Pete, the salesperson, and one thing that we would like to try to do is, okay, so they want to focus on bringing all these sports teams in. Well, if the sport teams are going to be here for a few days in the summer, let's get them out to the water park. So even if they end up staying in Aurora, or, you know, I mean, staying in another city, we want to be able to give them a special discount that they can offer the team. So like, oh, hey, after you guys play your game, come on over to Raging Waves this afternoon. It's half off or something like that. So that's one thing we're working on, so that we can get people into the community as well. I mean, just to come to our restaurants and everything like that as well. So
very cool.
Okay.
It's all working.
Keep it up.
Thank you. Alrighty.
So, what do
we talk about on Tuesday?
Do we want to bring it to the full council and have them? And then, are we still mulling because we have other options too? We have out there.
I think absolutely. I mean, it's been on this agenda for is it 17 years? You talked about this as if you had been talking about it for 4 years. Before
well,
I
we've also
here,
have
so.
Other stuff we export, so that's why I don't know if we're ready to bring it to the full. Do we want to have one that we can just all talk about it next time?
I say we bring it to the full, and if they kick it back to committee, then we talk about it.
Okay. Well, if we bring it to the full, will we have other information of the other groups so that we could share with everybody?
You know, we can kind of rehash the Heritage offer, which was similar in structure to this one. And then we've got the full study, which has already been for our study, which has been forwarded to the City Council. So, you know, as far as new information, I think this was the final piece for City Council to make a full decision. I think the only thing that you need to discuss is whether you want to attach a recommendation to that discussion, or if you want to just say we need 8 people basically to look at this all at once for us to make a good decision.
I'm for the all 8 people to get everybody's view.
Absolutely.
So you don't have Diane here.
I would concur with the recommendation to take it to the full council. That is my preference. As we've been going through this, I think it would be extremely beneficial for everyone to see this one as they've seen the other pieces and have the presentation and discuss it as a whole, since this has been very very much an important topic.
So. Okay. So why don't we do that? We'll put on next meeting?
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
Okay, put on the regular agenda and we'll have for discussion. Okay, everybody's good with that? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for your time.
Get that guy to run for office, seriously. Run for office, bro.
Maybe in a couple years.
Thank you.
That's the handsome guy.
Yeah. Super handsome.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
No. I need to ask him. All right, let's go back. back up to new business number 7, admin 2016-70, ordinance establishing prohibitions of tampering or theft from the city's water work system.
And basically, this
ordinance would
just give us a little bit more leeway and flexibility when dealing in the unlikely circumstance when we turn a resident off for failure to pay and they turn themselves back on. Right now, Public Works will and go and put a lock, which usually takes care of the issue, but this would also allow us to adjudicate them, provided that they either confess to doing it or that city staff witnesses them doing it. So.
You're not going to, like, post a video of what not to do, are you? Basically telling people how to do it. I didn't know you could do that. I thought it was...
Well, it requires a special wrench, I believe.
Yeah, but didn't you just say we had somebody do this?
Yeah, we had somebody do it.
Shut-off, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. It'd be fun to turn somebody's water off. I don't know about turning something on and incriminating myself. Yeah, now we're getting into
any
suggestions.
Yeah. Are we good with this? Send it on?
Yeah.
Consent agenda good for everybody?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
I think it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Admin 2016-71, ordinance increasing the fee for referral of delinquent accounts to a collection agency.
Recently, staff has reviewed several proposals from 4 different collection agencies. Staff's intention to engage MCSI to be the city's next collection agency, really because they're unique in the fact that they kind of partner with the local debt recovery program that's run by the Illinois Comptroller's Office. They do all the preparation of the files for us, so all we have to do is upload it onto their website. So it's a pretty simple process in that regard. In order for us to do that, though, we need to raise our collection referral rate. I think it's sent to collection agencies from 25% to 35%. That way we can cover the full cost of MCSI and pass through their cost onto the debtor.
Comments, questions on this?
So it's a financial reason as to why you want to raise the late fee, not just because you want a money grab?
No.
Yeah, there's nothing to do. Yeah, it's not going to, it's just going to be a pass-through fee.
Okay. Because late fees suck. I know from personal experience that once in a while you find and you're late on something. So if you're raising the late fee to cover the cost of processing the late fee, that makes sense because it's kind of a wash.
Right, and this isn't really a late fee. This is after you've had your late fee applied.
Right.
You're still not paying anything.
This is going into the collection.
Correct.
Later of the late. Yeah, if that's the case, then I'm cool with it because I've read it a couple times.
And just to recap, too, I know we talked about it in previous meetings, but our existing collection agency was suing people on our behalf and not telling us. So that's why we jettisoned our previous collection agency and why we're searching for a new one.
This is the one overheard in the court?
Yes. Yeah, one of our aldermen was present for the court hearing and said, why is the city of Yorkville suing this person? And when then we lost.
You're going to sue something on our behalf.
Yeah,
at least
icing on the cake. Yeah.
Okay, let's send that to consent agenda 2. And then we have admin 2016-72, First Amendment to the Intergovernmental Agreement between Yorkville and Fox Metro.
Well, recently it's come to my attention that the other member communities of Fox Metro are actually charging Fox Metro 50 cents for each fee that they give them. I wasn't aware of that. We were doing it for free. So this intergovernmental agreement would allow us to charge 50 cents as well. I, ran this by Jimmy Delgado, who's a comptroller of Fox Metro, and he ran by the executive director, and of course they're amenable to it, so I think it's in our best interest to amend the agreement so we can get our $120 a billing cycle.
Are you going to go back into the past or just start now?
I'm probably actually going to start with the fiscal year and see the new fiscal year and see what they say, so we'll start in June and we'll just take it from there.
Good, I wouldn't say let's go back to it. Yeah, this is kind of funny. It's like, whoa, we can charge for that? Yeah, that's cool.
So, works for me. We're good?
I'm good.
All right, consent agenda to that, too. Any additional business? Okay, so meeting is adjourned at 6:53.
Thank you. 7 minutes.